This episode of Says Who is brought to you by you. Through your support of our Patreon at patreon.com/says who. That's our Patreon where most every Sunday, except for this Sunday where I completely forgot that it was Sunday even, you get a whole nother episode of this. You get me and Maureen doing a little something we call the Town Watch, which is like a half an hour and looser. And that's to anyone that gives it the $5 or $10 a month level. That $10 a month level also gets you a sticker in the mail. Because you become a member of the Says Who Sticker Club, which I have labeled a whole bunch of envelopes just today. They are sitting on my dining room table in anticipation of the stickers for April showing up today, the last day of April, where I will put them in envelopes and walk them over to the post office before it closes. Bet on it.
They are so good.
They're good. They're a good one. They're a good one. And all of that is you at patreon.com/says who. Oh, there was an unintentional rhyme there.
All of that is you at says who.
There it is.
Dot FYI. Hey, you know what? This week I'm going to make a pitch to go to MaureenJohnson.com and sign up for my newsletter, which is something I do not send very often. Like, it's not one of those things where you're like, oh my God, every day. It's like three times a year. Although I am trying to send them a little bit more often than like 2 to 3 times a year. I'm trying to send them more like once a month. But what I'm saying is they always have something in them and they're not very often. So you just go there and you sign up. Because of the way everything is in the world, it is a really great way for me to keep in touch with people. And I'm going to be doing a fun thing in there this summer, though. There is a fun thing coming.
That's fun.
A mystery game.
Is it sending emails?
It's a mystery game, that little thing I'm going to put in there. You can have a little fun thing in there.
That's a fun thing.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like a fun thing?
Win some prizes.
Then go do that.
You like prizes.
I do.
MaureenJohnson.com. It'll pop up and you just put your email in and I promise I won't bug you.
Well, she also writes books. Point that part out. So this is your first time listening.
I do that.
She doesn't just have a newsletter.
It's nobody's first time listening, right?
It's true. I don't think so. I think people are fairly familiar, but anyway, she writes books, and if you want to buy those books on the internet, you can always go to kickbezosintheballs.org. That's our own little bookshop where we have Maureen's books and my books and a whole host of books that we mentioned live and added to the list. And other books too. You can just do it. You can buy books. It's great.
Just do it. It's fine.
Yeah. That's a kickbezosintheballs.org. While you're buying things on the internet, you can always go to merch.sayswhopodcast.com. That's our merch store. Or you can go to shop.dansinker.com, which is my little shop where I sell 3 patches. And hey, you know what? If you're signing up for newsletters, you can go to dansinker.com and sign up for mine. Why not?
One says trying, one says Cooper Black, and the third one says...
Marginally employed.
Marginally employed, that's right.
That's
it's almost
what
barbecue
they say.
Season again, Dan.
I went to a friend's birthday party last week. And it was like 3 hours of what? So what are you doing now?
Okay, let's try it. Hey, Dan.
No,
hey.
I don't want to. I did it for too long. No, don't need to.
Oh, hey, Dan, it's been a while. Come on.
No, I'm not doing it. It was traumatic. I'm not over it.
Come on.
No. I'm not engaging in reigniting my trauma.
Oh, you want this? Do you want this hamburger? Do you want your imaginary hamburger or not?
It was cold.
You can have hamburgers inside.
But you're not going to be sizzling them up.
Of course you are. You can. All right. There are grills inside.
Anyway. Point being, we're not doing
this. I worked at a Burger King as a child. I tell you, I was a child employee of a Burger King. And those hamburgers were cooked in what I referred to as hell in a box.
How old were you when you were a employee?
Child employee?
Of Burger King?
14.
Yeah. Wow. That's back in the good old days.
I thought you could still do that. You can get a work permit when you're 14.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people do that, though.
Really?
I got a youth work permit at 14. I was out there.
Yeah, I was a sophomore in high school, and I had my job as, you know, I did the salad bar. I assembled burgers.
Yep.
I was 14.
That
is weird.
Way to do it.
Isn't it weird?
It definitely, I will say, as the parent of a teenager who is that age, that's not the norm anymore. But it was definitely the norm when we were
that
age.
I was scrapping for that thing. I was like, come on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I would either get dropped off by my mom or I would ride my bike there. And it was like a long bike ride, too. It was like, and I was, you know, on my goofy kid bike, with a basket on it, you know, going to working at McDonald's. Working at Burger King. Sorry, it was classier than that. Yeah.
Well.
And I worked everywhere. It was one of those things when you think back again, I was like, oh, yeah, I worked. My husband has never worked a customer service job.
That's wild.
Like, his first job was, like, in IT. Like, he was, like, the village IT guy. Like, when he was a teenager, people would be like, fix this darn tootin' computer I got here. And he would go over and be like, all right, here's how you do this.
The old darn tootin' computers in the village.
Because they were, I don't know. They were like, beep, boop, 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 boop. Like, these were before, like, you know, this was, like, early on. And he'd be like, here's your, I'll fix your modem for you.
I have a question.
What?
Should we actually start the podcast?
When you tell us what you're... I'm still cooking burgers here.
I'm not doing it.
They're veggie burgers, so they're fine. They're stable.
I'm not doing it.
I don't do meat.
Okay.
Flip. Flip.
People are just going to be listening to this
Welcome.
For an hour. Oh, okay.
The Says Who, the podcast that's not a podcast.
It's a coping strategy. I am Dan Sinker.
I'm Maureen Johnson. And Dan, have you noticed what my microphone is on?
Well, I was going to ask you a number of things. The first is to note that by the tchotchkes balanced on the windowsill behind you, I see once again that you are at your familial home.
I sure am.
But yeah, so Maureen's microphone, which is a... I was gonna guess, but you're ruining the surprise.
Yep.
Maureen's microphone is, first of all, is a circle, and then that circle is encased in a
fuzzy
fluff puff ball in order to cut down on the plosives.
It sort of looks like a little weird hamster or something.
It looks like a tribble from...
Or a chinchilla,
exactly,
maybe.
Exactly like a tribble from the Star Trek episode. So, anyway, it is balanced because you did not bring a microphone stand.
Right.
And there is nothing to hold on to with this mic. It is just it is literally a little sphere. It is balanced on... I was going to guess, but then you scrolled down to show me. It appears to be a bottle of fabric softener or perhaps just laundry detergent generally.
It's just detergent. It's a bottle of Tide.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Well, 30 seconds before we recorded, I was like, what is close by? And I looked in the closet and there was a bottle of Tide and I grabbed it and I was like, that'll do. That'll
fits
do.
Nicely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks good.
It's pretty good, actually.
It's right up at your mouth level. You're set.
All I will say,
you look professional.
How's the picture quality? This new computer.
It's very clean. It's very sharp.
Yeah. So it's got a really good, nice new camera in there.
Yeah, and you're not having all the hiccups that you often have when you're...
This computer, it is like, it's just already a diamond. I love
it. Nice. So you just got there, didn't you?
My pickup was at 9 a.m.
Okay.
I arrived just before 11. I took the dog for a long walk, and I am wearing jeans and a shirt, and I thought, because it was cold this morning when I left New York, I brought my coat. It is 85 degrees now.
Oh, wow.
It is boiling hot. Like, it is, like, proper, like, boing summer.
You drove down, hit summer.
I drove down, hit summer, took her for a long walk, did two loads of laundry, and I had been holding in my bag for a while.
Yeah.
These little flower bombs. So they are little seed bombs of wildflowers that attract butterflies, ladybugs, bees. And I've wanted to throw them for a while. And I went out back and I dug very very shallow little holes and I drop them in. And so now I'm like, ooh, maybe at some point my little wildflowers will go boof.
I'm sure they will.
Feel all natural. Foul. Also, Dan, I'm pleased to report 2 dead snakes on the path.
Perfect. Phew.
Double album. Babies.
Sure everyone was wondering.
But that means that that habitat over there that we are keeping away from the developers is absolutely jumping. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
It is so laden, like it's about to spring forth with flowers.
It's just but it full is, of snakes.
Well, it's full of life. It's so good. Okay. Like we're actually seeing foxes and all these amazing birds.
Yeah.
And in the summer, that thing was just all butterflies. Like it was just butterflies as far as the eye could see.
Well, that's nice.
And bees, and it's like, wow, this is what a healthy environment looks like.
Yeah, it tends to be.
I should throw some flower bombs over there.
It's amazing. Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Where did you acquire the flower bombs to begin with?
You can buy them anywhere. I got these at Target.
Okay.
But I'm sure if you go to any Home Depot or whatever, just you can get some.
You could also just buy a bag of seeds and spread them around.
Little wildflower seeds.
And that would work too.
These are little pollinator ones, but apparently the clay in it helps. So right. by, because they're kind of these little clay balls.
Yeah.
And you just, apparently you break them in half. So I had to step on them and then I just dropped them in.
Well, there so you like, go. Ooh.
But now look I'm that. Looking at this. Now I'm looking at this
You're
spot like
Johnny goddamn Appleseed over there.
Now I'm like, grow.
Yeah, it takes a while. It's going to take a bit. I'm sorry.
How long?
A while.
You think by like July I'll see some?
Yeah, maybe. Wildflowers tend to seed and sprout pretty quickly.
Yeah. So let's go. I just dropped you. Let's see it.
I mean, it's going to take a minute. You're going to need to be a little patient.
You be a little patient.
Okay.
How are you?
Being patient.
How's Dan? How's Dan Sinker doing?
Today, Maureen Johnson, is the teen's birthday.
19?
19. So he's only the teen for one more year.
How does that make you feel?
Well, mostly this is the first birthday ever in his whole life that he is not home. So it's been weird. I managed to make a real error, which was in the morning, I thought, oh, I'm going to look at some photos of his birthday from years past. And so I typed in the date into my photos. And then it was like, I just stabbed my own self in the heart just then. Because then I could just scroll through and see him aging in reverse all the way down to nothing. And I didn't need that in my life, Maureen. I didn't need that kind of hurt that early in the morning. That was not a thing I needed, but I did it to myself.
You're a sensitive guy.
I'm a very sensitive guy. That's what people say about me.
Yeah. Sensitive Dan.
He's sensitive Dan. Artist.
Sensitive man. Sensitive Dan.
So that is, I would say, ultimately, that is how I'm doing, which is like, man, it's weird. It's weird. It's his kid's birthday and he's not here. Also, he has a big final exam tomorrow. So he's not even hardly celebrating his birthday. He's just studying.
He is at a college with an encampment.
I mean, be hard,
that means
at this point, it's
any
hard
college.
To not be at any. Yeah, he's at any college at this point. But he's at one. They have been handling it remarkably poorly, which is
you don't say
for the course. I know it's weird. It's weird. But it's been an emotional period of time, I would say, over at our house. That's how we are. How are you, Maureen?
I am good. This week I record from Philly. Next week I'll be recording from France.
Whoa, whoa, wee, wee, wee.
Mais
wow.
Oui. Yeah.
I mean, you also could not. You could just take the time.
I'm going to be working. I will have just arrived.
Okay.
How long am I there? Let's see. I arrive, I fly to London on Sunday, and then I'm staying the night in Heathrow.
That sounds great.
And then on Monday, I take a flight to France.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be going to the house where I'll be working. And because we have just decided to board the dog because of everything that's going on, and Oscar has to go to Sweden, and there's a little part of me that's thinking about diverting and flying to Sweden.
Yeah.
And staying in his hotel room for him with 1 or 2 days, because it's like free Sweden trip, because I've never seen Stockholm.
Dude, Stockholm is the best.
So I'm sort of like, maybe I should just go. Like, I'll be pretty close.
Do it. Why not? Okay.
Just do it?
Just do it.
All right.
Stockholm's great.
Then I would have to fly back to London to get my flight home.
Okay. That's like 20 minutes or what? Like, it's not a hard flight.
It's you know, there's
20
a lot.
20 minutes, but it's easy.
There's just, it would be a lot of faff though. So, because then when I get back, I'll be back in Philly again for a couple of days.
That's fine.
I don't know. We'll see.
You should go. Stockholm is great.
His company is Swedish. So he goes a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, he goes so often that I've never gone with him.
You go to that. I think there's an ABBA museum.
That obviously, he once stayed in the ABBA hotel.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a hotel.
I like Stockholm. Been there a couple times.
Seems cool.
It's super cool. It's really nice. There's a giant old boat in a museum. They pulled it up from the water and built a museum around it and keep it wet and shit. It's cool.
Well, there's going to be industrial action at Heathrow, so there is every chance that I will not be able to fly to England and might as well fly to Stockholm because.
What do you mean industrial action?
Strike.
Oh, there you go.
So flights in and out of England may also just be difficult.
Oh. Well, then, yeah, just go to Stockholm.
This feels very vagabond.
It's like fine.
Why is it fine?
Loose and fancy free for once.
No.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Is this any time to be footloose and fancy free?
I mean, no better time than the present, Maureen. Who knows what the future holds? Do it
now. What do you mean, Dan? But Dan, whatever do you mean?
I just mean that, you know, we're in the shit, Maureen. I don't know if you noticed. So grab that flight to Stockholm while you can.
In April, we officially entered the chute.
Yeah, we are in the chute. We're in the shit chute.
Shall we talk about that, Dan?
Sure.
Sure.
Why not?
Flip, I still have your burger.
I don't want to talk about that.
Then you got to talk about something else then.
Okay. I think maybe we should start talking about the encampments.
Mm-hmm.
Shit continues to go down at college campuses across the country as students set up encampments to protest the genocide going on in Gaza. And administrators continue to send in cops to beat on their own students. Smart, good stuff. It's good to see that nobody's learned fucking anything in the last week and a half that it's been going on. You had it start at Columbia University. You had it immediately crop up all over the place. Everyone started calling the cops on their own goddamn students. Harrowing scenes all over because cops are the worst. Columbia University, where it all started, is now seeing students taking over a building on campus.
Hamilton Hall.
Yeah. This is your alma mater. Have you spent time there?
Hamilton? Hamilton Hall is on the main green.
Yeah.
It's opposite a building where I spent all my time, which was called Dodge. And Dodge is right on 116th and Broadway. So as one of the gates of campus basically is attached to Dodge.
Yeah.
So all those shots of people like on the street with the gateway, that building to the left there, that's where I spent all my time. Hamilton is just across the way. And Hamilton has a history of being occupied. This is not Hamilton's first rodeo.
No.
It's at this point, maybe sort of Hamilton's job. Is to be occupied. I seem to remember only going to Hamilton for like where student loan offices were, I believe.
Okay.
If I'm thinking of the right building, I'm pretty sure I am. Unless Hamilton was over there. Hamilton's over there, here or here. I think though Hamilton is where all the student loan offices are and other administrative buildings. So I think I'm thinking of the right building. But no matter of the two buildings I am thinking of, they are right on the main green.
Yeah.
So, and it has been occupied in 68, I believe 86 and 90, because there were anti-apartheid
yeah,
protests.
Yeah.
And there was an anti-Vietnam, but where the protests in 68 also had to do with Morningside Park.
Okay.
And Columbia's expansion in certain areas.
Got it.
So Columbia has a long and storied and proud history of occupying Hamilton Hall.
Yeah.
Hamilton Hall,
in fact,
I do not...
it was 56 years ago on this exact day that the 68 occupation took place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It has happened before.
Yep.
I sort of believe the building's pretty much fine with it. I think the campus has been closed off.
Yeah, it has.
Because I actually was thinking I needed to do some library research, and that is one of the libraries I have access, like I have access to.
Okay.
That is where I go when I need to read the Journal of Forensic Pathology.
Okay, sure. Yeah, as one does.
Another, when I, for murder mystery research, I go there to read certain, also just, you know, I'm into it. I've had to read many things about how people have died in vats, things like that.
Oh, that's nice.
But they, because they have certain journals, I would have to go there to get access to the journals.
They have Vat Death Quarterly.
On Leo, the library system. It's a great archive and great library. They had this amazing thing where, that, you know, you could put in requests to the research librarians for your thesis, and then you would show up and they would have a whole table of materials laid out for you. It was like magic.
I love libraries. I love them so much.
So, yeah. So the research librarians at Columbia are amazing at helping in research, and the archivists are incredible, but I can't go because the campus is locked off. And that's not the main story. That's just me telling you a little fact about unable to go to Butler Library.
The White House, which has been surprisingly silent about all of this,
is handling it well in saying, let's not overreact. People have the right to free speech.
That's not really what they're saying. No.
Let them sit on tents on the green because
no.
It's not hurting anyone. Oh, look,
the takeover of the building was, quote, absolutely the wrong approach. Mm. And that it was, quote, not an example of peaceful protest. Maureen Johnson.
Mm.
I wonder what a person might conjure as an example of peaceful protest. I don't know, maybe a tent encampment?
No.
Maybe people chilling on the lawn? I don't know. Think maybe there is no way to do it in a way that power is going to say, oh, great, thank you. That's correct. You've done this the right way. You've spoken truth to power correctly. Thank you.
You know, a lot of people have a lot of complicated feelings about what's going on.
Yeah.
We have opinions. Other people have opinions. Dan and I are certainly, I think, interested in people living great lives in justice and peace.
Sounds good.
Able to practice their religion freely and happily and live and thrive and in all ways.
Yeah.
That's our general position on things. What is happening is that we have a right to assembly, free speech, and protest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sitting on a lawn.
Yeah.
Which is what most of these encampments are.
Yes.
If not all of them.
Yeah.
Is literally some people sitting on the lawn.
Yeah.
Greeting them with police and riot gear,
mm-hmm.
shields out.
Mm-hmm.
There are already people who have been dragged off. I mean, there's ridiculous footage from Emory earlier this week with a professor. This woman literally being dragged off by the police saying, please call the philosophy department. I believe she was the chair of the department who was being dragged off. Another professor came out just to ask what the police were doing to the students and was immediately tackled to the ground and dragged away.
Yeah.
We don't learn. What we see here, just think about this for one second. This is what's happening in May. April and May.
Yeah.
Now, some of these, some of these universities have now already canceled classes, canceled graduations.
Yeah.
You know, the kids that were in high school during COVID are going to not have a graduation again.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen this summer? This summer's right. going to be weird.
Yep.
Then we're going to roll into September, August, September. Who knows what the situation in Gaza is going to be like then?
Yeah.
I mean, God knows.
Yeah.
Also, we're going to be rolling into a really hot and crazy time with this election.
Yeah. Literally hot, too. This is now
it's literally going to be hot.
The hottest summer ever after last summer's hottest summer ever.
Great.
Yeah.
So we have more fires to look forward to, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be good.
So it's going to be hot fire summer with weird political stuff, or as I like to think of it, another weird Watergate summer. Stupid Watergate. Get your iced tea. Let's go. It's iced tea
definitely
time, Dan.
Definitely going to be that.
I will obviously be eating my own weight in watermelon every day. I eat three watermelons a week in the summer.
That sounds amazing.
I eat so much watermelon,
like
Dan.
The little ones or the like giant ones from when we were kids?
I can eat a big one, like pretty quickly. It is frankly shocking and embarrassing the way I go after watermelon. It's gross.
No, it's good.
I love it.
One of the best things.
Dan, I eat it 7 times a day. Like every time I open the fridge, I'm like, why don't we have a little bit of that watermelon there? And then pretty soon I look in the containers, which I'm really good at slicing my watermelon into these perfect fish stick size, like rectangles.
Oh, nice.
So I can pick them up and be like, anyway,
like
Dan.
Bugs Bunny and a carrot.
But we're going to be rolling back. Campuses are going to be reopening.
Yeah.
The situation will be, I'm going to hope that it's going to in some way be better. But how do you fix this?
I don't even know what better means in that
What
context.
Does better mean?
Yeah.
What is everyone dead? No, Dan, seriously, like, how do you fix this? How do you fix it when you've killed so many people?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't have anywhere to live. And there's no food.
Mm-hmm. On that tip, World Central Kitchen has set back up in Gaza.
God bless them. God bless them.
A whole host of their volunteers have been killed. So there is still attempts to bring food to people that don't have it. But Maureen, I wanted to just share sort of a counterexample of the encampments, which is just down the street from where I am, just a short jump, is Northwestern University,
mm-hmm.
who also last week had an encampment start up. And you might not have heard a lot about it. And that's because they kind of just let it go. They kind of just let the encampment be a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was on a big lawn that is not kind of off from the beaten path the way some of these encampments are. This was right on a public road, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to there being, I don't even know how many, by the end of it, probably by like this past weekend, 100 tents. And people lining the street, cars driving by honking, you know, I mean, like a whole thing. They had campus security just kind of parked in one corner, and they let it happen. We went by a couple of times with our kid, you know. It was like the chillest thing ever. Like we were on the fence side and a guy walked up and he was all, hey, we're serving food if you want to come in. Like we have, you know, Middle Eastern food, we have Mexican food, we have all kinds, you know, like there's plenty if you want to get in line, like come on. And which we had already eaten. But yeah, they had like a stage, like a makeshift stage, and they had invited student performance groups to come and do dances and shit. It was really wonderful. And it seems like any place could have done that. Any place could have chosen to just kind of let it happen. You know, occasionally there were moments like and that there was, you know, some graffiti and there were some altercations with counter protesters and things like that. But they were de-escalated very quickly. Like they never rolled cops through. As far as I know, I'm not sure that the like the anything beyond campus security was ever called. I don't think the town cops were brought in ever. And then yesterday they announced that they had negotiated a deal with the administration. And it certainly doesn't sound like a perfect deal, but and then they were like, okay, so we can break up our encampment, right? Like the administration agreed to put students on their investment committees to look into what they're being invested, you know, what they're investing in. They agreed to give full ride scholarships, I think, to 5 Palestinian students a year, like to have visiting like professors. I mean, it's like they engaged in conversation, right? And in negotiation, and they worked out a thing that at least some of the folks were like, okay, yeah, this works. It's not on any fucking newspaper cover that I've seen.
Right.
But it does seem possible to actually let it fucking happen.
Every time you roll the cops in.
Yeah.
Every time, no matter what the situation, in these protests, you are making it worse every time.
Yes. Every fucking time.
Every single time. If your goal was to stop it, let's just say that was your goal.
Yeah.
In every case, it made them bigger.
Yeah.
And in this case, it took it from one school to the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how badly they fucked this up.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that
and
was,
continue if, to fuck it up.
If that's their goal. It's just, but it's also, it just feels like we're in such a case of like, wow, absolutely no one in charge is reading the room about youth. What have we done?
Mm-hmm.
You're running Biden?
Yeah.
You're throwing cops into protests about mm-hmm. genocide?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing you seem to have done this week is try to ban TikTok. Like, what are you doing?
It's a valid question, Maureen.
These are all, I know that I'm not saying anything that people don't know, but when you just every once in a while you have to remind, just like, wow, I don't see how you could have fucked this up more.
Well, oh, no, I mean, they also definitely, don't oh, forget no, let there's, me just, there's a bunch of other little low-key things, like they revised the financial aid forms this year and kids still haven't gotten them processed, you know? So just like shit like that too, where it's like, oh, you know what? Hey, how about we really fuck over a lot of youth as in every possible way? Like the level of like this, the youth vote is going to be crucial in November. And it's like, what else could we do?
And they're not in. If you imagine this, imagine the Biden campaign is sitting there now. And one of their jobs is to sit there and go like, all right, we have got to activate the youth on campuses, yeah. The youth.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get them online. We've got to get them influencing. We've got to get them walk around campuses excited about nobody is going to do this.
Yeah.
No one.
Yeah.
You want your door knockers again? You want your phone bankers again?
Yeah.
Who the fuck is going to do this?
Yep. It is something.
The twist of this year is just that it feels like rot. But it also feels like a giant fireball.
Yeah.
It feels like a tire fire.
Yeah, it does. Yes.
It's not a good situation, Dan.
No, it's definitely not a good situation. It is in fact a really bad situation.
The twist that we were thinking about with 2024 has turned into the social twist. I don't think we predicted that was a thing. We knew we weren't going to be ready.
Yeah.
And so in that way, I feel ready.
Well, perfect.
So I got that going for me.
Yeah. Well, and now you're starting to see, you know, in court today or outside court today, Trump, you know, capitalizing on the on the protests and how, you know, we're seeing now sort of the same narrative that Republicans used back in 2020 about cities burning down and shit like that. Like, same deal, you know, college campuses are just run roughshod and all of that. He, you know, decried what was going on at Columbia and all of that while, you know, on a smoke break or whatever from his fucking criminal trial. So you're starting to see the exact same narratives recycled from 2020. Good stuff.
How Great is the work. Trial going? How
well,
is
Maureen
it?
Well, Maureen Johnson.
Yeah, see?
Donald Trump has had more than one trial in the last week since last we spoke, because last week he was also at the Supreme Court. Well, he wasn't. He was in trial in New York, but his lawyers were at the Supreme Court in order to argue his claim of absolute immunity from prosecution. While everyone coming into this seemed to agree that the claim was complete bullshit, the Supreme Court justices surprised most everyone by entertaining it more than expected. Brett Kavanaugh wondered if a president could be charged under any federal statute that doesn't explicitly say it applies to the president.
Now, is he going to ask Dookie or whatever his friend's name is?
He's going to ask, yeah, exactly. At one point, Clarice Thomas suggested that the Justice Department's decision to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate Trump was perhaps unconstitutional.
Look, man, these were names I didn't need to hear today. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, God, I got to remember about these guys existing. Yeah.
They're not good guys. The liberal justices, of course, kept pointing out that nobody is above the law, but the most likely outcome from all of this was outlined by Amy Coney Barrett, who basically said that there's official acts of a president and then there is their private behavior. And while official acts may have some immunity attached to them, private behavior shouldn't. So what that's going to end up meaning is if they, in fact, rule in that direction, and nobody knows for sure, but what everyone seems to agree on is that no matter what the outcome of this, the J6 trial is going to be bumped significantly, probably till after the election, because the most likely outcome is that this will go back to lower courts to suss out all of this stuff around, are these official acts? Are these private acts? What, you know, what is in what you are prosecuting? What falls in what area? And of course, you'll see that Trump's people will say it's all official, and the feds will say, no, that's not true. And it will work itself through the courts. Who knows? Maybe it'll end up back at the Supreme Court again, just for funsies. So that's where that's going to end up. So that's another thing that's now going to be bumped to November or post-November. And obviously, if Trump is elected, we'll either pardon himself, fire the prosecutors, tell the new Attorney General to fucking knock it off, or all of those things. Who knows?
8 years, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it for 8 years.
Mm-hmm. We have. Yeah, it's true.
Just want to point out again, 8 weeks you told me.
Mm-hmm. I did.
8 weeks you said.
I said 8 episodes. We'll end it with a live stream. It'll be fun.
It'll be fun,
he
said.
Busy, I said.
But it'll be fun, he said. Remember, that's when I used to record in my closet with all the clothes in it?
Oh, yeah. You really took it seriously back then.
Now I'm like, I got a microphone on a Tide bottle. I don't give a shit. I don't give two shits about nothing consecutively. You know what I mean? I got my whole ass hanging out. You know what I'm saying? There it is in the wind.
8 episodes. And this is our 331st. So it's going good.
Smoking.
Meanwhile, in the actual New York trial, probably the only trial that will happen this, certainly before the election, perhaps ever. The question left last week when prosecutors were arguing that Trump was in violation of his gag order has now been answered. Today, that is Tuesday the 30th, Judge Juan Merchan found Trump in contempt of court for violating his gag order 9 times, fined him $9,000. The maximum amount you can find is $1,000. So he did say if that amount of money isn't enough of a disincentive to start to knock this shit off, that, you know, the next possible thing is jail time. I'll believe that when I see it.
Well, he's going to keep offending.
Right. I it's very hard for me to imagine that that will really happen, but hey, dare to dream. Meanwhile, the trial got back underway today. This is now week three. How time flies.
It's actually happening.
Yeah, we're about this. In theory, we're about halfway through. After last week's testimony by National Enquirer publisher David Pecker, who testified for 3 days, they have now rocketed through a whole bunch of witnesses in the last couple. I think that as of now, they're on their fifth or sixth person over the last few days. A lot of people like archivists and records keepers who testify to the veracity of things like clips from C-SPAN and videos of the deposition from the E. Jean Carroll case. During a lot of that, Trump was reported as spending time, quote, with his eyes closed.
Same.
In addition, the banker that worked with Michael Cohen testified, and the lawyer that negotiated the payoffs for Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal has been testifying as we are recording. The prosecution is not announcing their witnesses ahead of time, so we really don't actually know who's up next at any given time. That's because if they do, they know that they will be harassed by Trump and his supporters. So that's good stuff.
But
great news, Maureen.
What?
Halfway through this trial, a member of Donald Trump's family actually showed up to sit in the courtroom.
And?
It's Eric.
Oh, he wants love so badly.
He does. He does. It took him three weeks, but he showed up.
He just, this kid has never had a hug.
No.
This poor chinless bastard with his chocolate milk and mice that he eats. Can you imagine living your life second to Don Jr.?
Well, and I mean, second to Don Jr., but that doesn't mean that Don Jr. is first. Like, Don right. Jr. is like, there's like seven imaginary people.
Right.
And then maybe Don Jr.
It's Ivanka. And then Ivana. Ivanka.
Yeah.
Ivanka.
Ivana.
I don't care. It's Ivanka.
I don't give a fuck about these people.
It's Ivanka, right? Have I gone insane?
You said it and it didn't sound right, but I think you're right.
Is it Ivana?
I think I went. No, that's the mom. Ivana Ivanka's mom.
Are we going nuts right now?
Yeah, who cares?
Like,
the thing that's annoying, Maureen, is it's a reminder that we have to hold these people in our brain.
Remember when Ivana or Ivanka died and Trump just buried her in his golf course?
Yeah.
That's the thing that's just happened.
Yeah, like, she fell down the stairs, as one does.
Is that what happened? Was it the fall down the stairs?
Yeah, she fell down the stairs. Yeah. You'd forgotten that part.
Yeah, I had.
Hey, mystery writer, what happens when people fall down the stairs?
Honestly, I have to think about, I've been working on a new one, and I have been thinking about falls downstairs and things like that so much.
Yeah.
That sometimes I forget where reality stops and my imagination begins.
Mm-hmm.
That happens a lot with me, though, to be fair.
Yep.
I have a rich inner life that often becomes a rich outer life.
She died of, quote, blunt impact injuries to the torso.
Hmm.
It's rough. Stairs of the rough. They're
rough.
We
call that a Russian mob tumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like how everyone in Russia is always like, whoops, fell out of that open window.
Anyway, I think it's pretty touching that finally a member of Donald Trump's family shows up for his criminal trial.
Yeah. Melania does not want to know.
No.
Who can blame her?
Nah. I mean, she's no angel, but I get her not showing up. But these kids, come on now.
This is a trial about his dad fucking.
It's true. It is.
Gross.
It is gross. Thanks for that.
Imagine, like, you had to sit there and be like,
no, I don't want to.
This is about
let's
my dad
let's
did.
Move on.
my dad did fucking crimes.
Yeah.
And I could watch a movie and really kind of get a pretty good look at what went on.
Yeah.
Plus, there was that whole Mario connection with the toadstool and the, remember when we had to go through that?
Yeah, we'll get
I feel like, Dan,
up, Buttercup.
I'm starting to realize what a zoo of monsters my memory is keeping back from me. Like,
yeah,
it's recent stuff that I know, but my mind, in some sort of beautiful angelic move, has been like, you don't need to remember that. It doesn't matter how recent it was. You just don't need to remember it.
It's like you go into your mind palace and every now and then they're like, no, don't go that way. No, that one's fine. Nope, leave that alone.
I hear noises in the basement.
Yeah.
And everyone in the palace is like, don't go to the basement. Don't go to the basement. That's where all that stuff is.
Yeah.
But I hear it in the attic. I hear it in certain hallways.
Yeah.
It's all around.
Yeah, it is.
Don't go in that basement. But we're going to have to. But my fear is that the basement door is about to burst open.
Oh, yeah.
And all these weirdos are going to come out.
Yeah. I mean, eventually Stormy Daniels is going to testify. And that's going to be, it's going to be a thing we're never going to unhear again. Anyway, Maureen Johnson.
Damn.
I bet you're sitting there right now asking yourself this.
What?
Which is, wow, we're halfway through this trial and everything seems to be good with Trump and his lawyers. Well, Maureen Johnson, the New York Times today, and I'm just gonna go verbatim for a few paragraphs. Donald J. Trump's Manhattan criminal trial had barely begun when he started to turn his anger towards his lead lawyer, Todd Blanche. Although Mr. Blanche has been Mr. Trump's favorite lawyer for some time, behind closed doors and in phone calls, the former president has complained repeatedly about him in recent weeks, according to four people familiar with the situation. He has griped that Mr. Blanche, a former federal prosecutor and veteran litigator, has not been following his instructions closely and has been insufficiently aggressive. Mr. Trump wants him to attack witnesses, attack what the former president sees as a hostile jury pool, and attack the judge, Juan M. Merchan. Mr. Trump, who often complains about legal fees and sometimes refuses to pay them, has also wondered aloud why his lawyers cost so much, according to the people who all spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss the sensitive topic.
These people know they're not going to get paid.
Yeah.
They know they're not getting paid.
I think that there is a level of, I'm a very special boy in these kinds of people's minds. And they think they're going to be the ones that get paid. I think it eventually dawns on them that they maybe are not that special of a boy. But I think that you go in thinking, well, I'm going to get it.
Now, Dan, I'm going to ask you a very spicy question.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a series of spicy questions.
Oh, well, great.
All right. One, spicy meatball one.
Yeah.
Operate code name meatball one.
Okay.
What happens if he's found guilty?
I mean, he'll be found guilty.
And
then they decide whether or not it is guilt that would lead to jail time. Like, the thing is that there are a lot of counts here, and some of them you could say, well, you need to pay a fine or there's a misdemeanor or whatever. And other things, you say there's jail time. Now, this is, to me, I know you're in the middle of asking spicy questions, but I'm just going to interject here, which is back on the topic of the lawyer, which is the way it seems you would approach a case like this, right? Is in your opening statement, you would say, you know, hey, the guy has a wandering dick. It happens. It's not illegal, right? Sure, the guy wanted to make sure that his wife didn't find out. That's not illegal. You know, like, that's how you would normally do something like this. Like, hey, he's no angel, but he didn't do crime. what he did was what anyone would do if they had a wandering dick too, right? And he can't do that. Instead, he has to go with a, like, this man is a fucking angel. Who is better than him? Nobody, right? Because that's what Trump requires of him. And
I just want to point out, Dan, that before he was president, before he ran, he was famous for doing stuff like, was it David Letterman or something that he appeared on that he had condoms in his pocket all the time?
Oh, probably.
He used to do this shit all the time.
Yeah.
Now, let's just forget the fact that, you know, the things he's been caught on tape saying, he right. made this his thing. He was like, look at me. Look right. at me. I love fucking. Like, that right. was his thing.
He's had three wives.
But he liked to talk about just dating models yeah. and being creepy. Yeah. He's like, I'm a, yeah. what? He basically went and said, I'm a total creep. Yeah. I'm a creepy, creepy guy.
Yeah.
I like underage girls.
Yeah.
I'm a weird, creepy sex best.
Yeah. That was his whole brand.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then you are the lawyer and you're told you can't just kind of own up to that. Which honestly would probably be a pretty good way of going about this, you know? It's basically say, like, look, come on. The guy's kind of a creep.
Come on.
But they can't do that. And so now he's getting burned for not being tough enough. When the reality is, had he kind of been allowed to defend the case perhaps the way he would want to, the chance to go back to your question of what if he's found guilty, probably would be a lot less. Because, again, it's reasonable doubt, right? Mm-hmm. And this case has always been a little bit of a stinker by most people's analysis in terms of actual criminality.
So he's trying to claim that he did not have sex with her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That he didn't have sex with her. That he didn't pay her off, that it wasn't, you know, that
like that it that just didn't happen.
Basically, I think the line that they're trying to walk is that yes, the payments happened, but it was to just kind of get this kind of annoyance out of the way. Wasn't a real thing, but you know, wasn't a lot of money. Move it along.
But in fact, but it's irrelevant, sort of, even if it happened. The question is, like, it's about illegal. It's a technicality law,
right.
legal issue about where the money comes, like what you do with money and that you claim to use for a campaign and what it's, you know.
Right. And how you classified it to begin with. Like, it's a fault. Like, one of the things that's interesting and I don't totally understand, right, is that at the center of this is a case around falsification of business records.
Right. It's a boring case.
It, at least as of now, they have spent very little time on that. And what they have spent a lot of time on is kind of trying to establish that there was sort of a conspiracy between Pecker and Cohen and Trump. And the weird thing, and I remember this being weird at the time and people saying, like, this seems strange. Conspiracy is not on the table here. Like, this is not a conspiracy case. Like, there is no, that is not one of the things being charged. So, again, if you were a lawyer given free rein, you might be like, hey, the dude's got a wandering dick. And hey, yeah, these guys all worked together to make sure that didn't blow back on him. But that they're saying it's a conspiracy. But if it's a conspiracy, where's the charge? Right? Like, they didn't charge it. It's not really a thing. They've wasted your time making an argument that they didn't even charge the man with, right? Like, it seems like a lot of very easy things to do, but instead Trump has this man playing in fucking hard mode and still hates him for it.
Dan, we were back on my spicy question. So let's just say he's found guilty. Let's just say it. All right.
Yeah.
This weird charge that he did it.
Yeah.
So I think there's a chance that they're going to be like, okay, you did this thing.
Don't forget that is like in a few weeks.
Yes. So let's just say that next month the jury comes back and this jury of like what I assume are If you've ever seen Arrested Development, there is a picture of the Magicians League, which is just like a guy dressed like a wizard and a guy dressed like a Dracula and a close-up magic guy. And they're standing in front of a sign that says, "We demand to be taken seriously." That is how I like, that's assuming, that's what I assume the jury looks like when they tried to find the 12 people in Manhattan that were like, don't, never heard of the guy.
Yeah.
These 12 innocents and rubes.
Yeah.
And recently arrived space aliens.
Yeah.
That have, you know, just dropped out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Are like, they listen to this case and they're like, it seems pretty clear he did this thing.
Yeah.
So let's just say they say he did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happens then?
I mean, in theory, the man goes to jail.
I don't think he's going to jail. Do you?
No, I think I think they would immediately appeal, and I think they would get an agreement that he doesn't need to serve his jail time until the appeals process is worked through, blah, blah, blah.
But let's say that happens, but he's found guilty, but he's not going to jail.
Yeah.
And we're in like June.
Yeah.
Of 2024.
Yeah.
And then we have
this. We will know this before the end of May.
Right. So then we have a convicted criminal running for president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then let's just say jail time irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Let's just say he has a conviction and we still don't know what's going to happen in Georgia.
Right.
Let's see. What do we got? We've got Florida, we've got Georgia, and we've got DC.
Yeah.
And Georgia could still happen, but who knows?
I think Georgia won't happen before the election at this point.
So none of them are going to happen except this one.
Almost certainly not. I mean, Florida, theoretically, but no, I don't think anyone with any real conviction believes it. But, you know, it's the one that seems most able if the judge wasn't incompetent slash a Trump appointee.
So we've got, so say he's found guilty, it's like a fine or whatever, or he's out on appeal.
Yeah.
Now, leaving aside the fact that he could get jailed this week for contempt of court.
Yeah.
Having.
Unlikely, but yeah.
Anyway. Sidebar.
Yeah.
Also today, I'm going to help our friend who is suffering from a domestic violence situation.
Yeah.
I'm literally helping her. I was on the phone with her yesterday with the cops to try to get this dude arrested again.
Yeah.
The thing she has to go through to get him arrested for one night. After years of like truly horrific, horrific things and legal things that say like you cannot come near her is so hard. And this guy who we know has done so many things with jailing him is so hard. And yet you're sitting on a lawn in a campus. Guess who's going to jail? Guess apparently what's really easy to do.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's simple. Suddenly, it's like super, super simple to do.
Yeah.
They will drag your ass away.
They sure will.
Anyway, Dan, let's just say we have a convicted. This is a felony case. This is a.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We have a convicted felon.
This is a real criminal case.
We have a convicted felon and he is actively running for president.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? At this point, I don't know. Maybe he wins.
Yeah, definitely.
I have entered, like many people, the zone of genuinely, I think Biden may win at this point, but it's really unclear.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's accurate.
And I think the only reason Biden might be winning at this exact point, maybe, is that Trump hasn't had enough time to campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I think if there is one thing that gives Biden a lifeline at this point, it is the fact that ever since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, Democrats have won at a much larger level than statistics and historic modeling would show. Right. And so, and I think that is the single issue at this point, basically, that they can kind of point to and be like, we got that. Remember, I think at this point, that's their only lifeline.
We could be doing so many good things, Dan.
Yes,
imagine,
correct.
By the way, that noise you hear in the background is my dog just absolutely waking up for a nap, rubbing her face on the ground, and really aggressively rubbing her ass into the furniture.
Nice.
The face is in the carpet, like her whole head. She likes to rub her head into the, but in doing so, she sticks the butt up and that, like, she does a real, like, it's like an exorcism. She's like,
yeah.
Just, can you hear that? The kind of,
I mean, I heard a like cluck, 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 but I didn't. Yeah.
It's just, she makes these really, they're just. My
she's
dog is,
it.
She's not graceful. She is like living with, oh my God, Dex, stop rubbing your ass on the furniture. Well, didn't stop her. She just wakes up and feels herself. She's like, I'm loving it. She, take a lesson from her. She's like, it's a sunny day. I went out in the grass. I smelled a whole bunch of cool stuff. I was with my mom. I was hanging out. I had a snack. It's sunny. The spring little buttercups are out in the grass. We dropped a flower bomb. You guys, get yourself a seed bomb. Sprinkle some wildflower seeds.
Yep.
Sprinkle some pollinators, you know, get those ladybugs and the bees. Do all the, enjoy yourselves. Have a nice snack. We got to talk about Disney. Are we going, Dan? We got
to. Sounds like a mindfulness. It sounds to me like you're leading up to a mindfulness moment.
I've forgotten to do mindfulness moments because I forgot to be mindful.
There you go.
But everybody, listen, things are weird and a bit spicy. So what do you do when things get spicy? You go where it's cool. You drink a little milk. That's what actually counteracts the spice, not water. You need the milk or something like it. All right? All right. You drop a little seed bomb somewhere, a beautiful little wildflower bomb. You drop it and you say, hey, flowers grow. And then the birds come and the bees come and it helps the bees. Anything that helps the bees is good. Help your bees. But apparently there's all kinds of, you want the right kind of bees. I don't know. I met this woman who was like really into bees when I was in England. She was like the queen of bees. And now I was like, she knows everything about bees. Just plant some flowers. Have a nice time. And you know what? If your mind palace is making noises in the basement, you don't need to go down there. Cement the basement over. We don't need to look back at that. We're going to get new weird stuff. Maybe it's time we put in a second basement. We're going to need a deeper basement. We've got to do that thing like they do in Disney Haunted Mansion. We'll be coming and then the floor just drops and all the paintings get long. We're going to need a deeper basement. That's okay. We're in the haunted mansion and all together and the floor is dropping and we're all looking at each other as the paintings get long going, seems about right. This is how we wanted it to go. We do need to make those plans if we're going.
We do, but not live on the air because this episode of Says Who is made possible by you through your support of our Patreon at patreon.com/says who. That's our Patreon where every Sunday you get this all over again, most every Sunday at least. Yeah, because you become a member of the Says Who Sticker Club. You give it the $5 or $10 a month level. Nope, that's not it. I messed all of that up.
Eh.
You know what I'm saying, though. I don't need to re-record that. You know the deal. I say this every week. Anyway, patreon.com/says. Who. Our theme music is performed by Ted Leo. Our logo was designed by Darth. You can contact us at Says Who Podcast on Threads. You can also find us at Says Who at omfg.town on Mastodon. You can email it, hey, that's H-E-Y at sayswhopodcast.com. You can join the discussion on Facebook at /group/SaysWhovians. Our Facebook group is moderated by Janice Dillard. There's also the fan-run Discord server at tinyurl.com/SaysWhoDiscord. Whatever you do, spread the word. Subscribe, leave stars and reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is that you can listen. You can join us next Wednesday, May 8th, for our very next episode from my basement in Chicago. I am Dan Sinker.
From a field outside of Philadelphia, and next week, from France.
Oh,
from Provence.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui. I will be surrounded by lavender, I think. And possibly little tiny scorpions.
Oh.
Because they have those in France.
I don't think of France and scorpions as a thing, but okay.
Yeah, no, they do. They have a little, it's like a thing.
All right.
I've seen a couple.
All right.
It was all right.
Well, that's cool.
This burger has really been getting, it's well done now.
Well, keep cooking.
So flipping it. Just flipping it. That's the secret. I just keep flipping it. Okay. I'm flip this burger forever, Dan. Flip. 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 Eat your burger. Don't just stare at me through those white glasses.
I'm just waiting for you to say your name.
You be honest, he looks at me and it's all beard and glasses.
That's it. That's all I have.
It's like a floating orb with white glasses and this beard, and it's just, it's very judgmental.
Okay.
This has been Sesu.
All right. You never said your name, but that's fine.
I'm Maureen Johns. I heard the door about to open. I was like, oh, this has been Sesu.
Oh, now you gotta go. Now you gotta go.
There's always something. Every time I pass the room, someone's like, Maureen, do you need... It's never ending.